How's everybody doing today? Good to see all of you guys. It's a great Sunday. I'm glad that y'all are here. Hey, thank you guys for being a church that invites people. And it's really cool to see new people come. And I just want to say thank you guys for inviting people. That's why I put out these cards. That's what these cards are for. They're invite cards. They're in front of you. Invite folks, because it is our passion to see people know God. We want to reach them with the truth that God loves them, has a purpose and plan for them. So thank y'all for coming. And if you are new here and this is your first time, welcome. I hope you're already enjoying it. This is what we ask. If you just take out the connection card in the seat back in front of you and fill that out. That's our opportunity to connect with you and you with us. Also, we send you something really delicious and good in the mail, and you don't want to miss out on that. It also gives you the opportunity to connect in areas that I think are really pretty foundationally important, like groups. Anybody start groups? I hope we're starting groups. Yeah, come on. All five of y'all, 37 of you, however many. I'm excited that we are starting our groups and by the way, that's on the connection card. Also, baptism. Y'all know we had 8 people baptized this past week. Isn't that awesome? Love it, love it, love it, love it. So we do that every month. So every month we're doing baptism. If you know that you've given your life to the Lord, there's been a change, baptism is a great next step. The last thing about church business stuff is today, right after the 11:15 a.m. service, we have the third series of our growth track. You can jump in at any time. Our growth track is called Grow, and it is all about you first connecting. This was the first week, connecting with God, what it means to follow Christ, what it means to be a Christian. The second week is what does it mean to connect to a church? My wife and I lead that one. This week is Pastor Tom. He's right there. He has the best week, I think. I'm going to be honest. He talks about purpose and what it means to connect to your God purpose. Take a spiritual gifts test. You take a personality profile. It's a lot of fun. I think it's the most fun week anyway. 11:15, right after the end of this service. That's this service. There's childcare. There's food provided. Follow the signs. It's in the theater room, which is right back here. This is technically, they're all theater rooms. Have y'all figured that out yet? This is an old movie. Anybody go to the movies here when you were growing up? Wow, a lot of y'all. Mm-hmm. I saw Roadhouse here. It's the only movie I ever saw, and I snuck in. I don't remember much about that movie, but I'm thinking I probably shouldn't preach about it. I do remember it was Patrick Swayze, wasn't it? Man, what a trip down memory lane. Woo! Oh, last thing. Today at 3 o'clock, I just encourage you to join us and an awful lot of churches around the community for the March for Life. It takes place at 3 p.m. at the Civic Center, but it's at the War Memorial behind the outdoor amphitheater. We're going to be walking in remembrance of those that have been impacted by abortion. January 22nd, 1973, Roe versus Wade became law. Abortion was legalized, and we've seen so many babies that have been aborted, but also we're also very sensitive to the fact that 40% of women over the age of 45 have had an abortion. And Roe v. Wade made something seemingly normal that we just know is not. And just one of the ministries that we're connected with here, Life After Choice, is dealing with a lot of the ramifications that women that go through that bought into that lie that it's normalized. So I just want you to be in prayer today for that. But if you can make it to the march, it's really great. So we're a sponsor of that event as well. And hopefully we'll see you there. Now we're getting into today's message, which I'm honestly, it impacted me. This week was good for me. So let's bow our heads. We're going to pray. Father, I just pray that today that we hear from you. Father, I just pray that we can hear what you speak about who we are and what you've called us to be. I just pray that people hear your voice and they respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we started the series Restart with a Restart with God. We're restarting in 6 key areas of our life. Last week was restarting in your walk with God. And we talked about how you have to see that you have a need, that there's a need that we all have because we all fall short of perfection, right? If you don't fall short of perfection or don't think that you do, you're a narcissist and you're wrong. It's kind of oxymoronic if you think about it, at least in their mind. We all know our need, or at least we should realize our need. We need God. The second thing is we have to answer the question, who is Jesus? Because he should not just simply be some historical figure, some philosopher that we say spoke good things, but we recognize he's the Savior of the world. But more than that, we realize we need a Savior from ourselves, from our sin. Jesus is that. We see our need. We recognize that he is the one that has come to redeem us from the curse of sin, redeem us from ourselves, and then thirdly, that we experience and embrace his grace. That's the first key to a restart for 2017. It's a restart in your walk with God, because you will never figure out your purpose until you find out the one who created you, because that designer and that creator, he created you with a specific purpose and he knows it, and you'll never figure it out on your own. You'll just substitute something that seems like a good idea, whether it's a relationship or a business venture or a hobby or whatever it is. But let me just say, God has wired each of us uniquely. And there is a God dream in each of us that I desperately want you to tap into. That's why step three, by the way, is so good with Pastor Tom, because you look at how your personality is wired. Look at the spiritual gifting so that you can figure out, man, maybe God has created me for this. And you seek him, and here's what you'll find. And if you read in this devotional, by the way, this week, you'll find that when you pray, it's day five, because it was day three and day five are the most impactful for me. Can I read this to you right now? What are you going to say? No, I got the mic. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And when you seek him, and I actually believe that was day three, was seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Man, when we seek God, when we pray, it's, Lord, show me your way. He hears us and he listens. Here's the thing. If you want these devotional guides, we have some more of them. We gave away all 500 last week, actually in one Sunday, so that's really great. But we have, we ordered more and we got 200 more. If you have not plugged into the devotional, get in. It's actually really good. So we're praying for you guys. You need to plug in with that devotional. It's in the restart table in the foyer. You can pick them up there. That's a plug for something that we're giving you. That's good, I think. Last week was the key of restarting with God. This week is restarting in your identity and knowing who you are. If last week was all about knowing who God is and recognizing your need for him and embracing the grace that he's given you, this week, man, I really want you to get the fact that you have a new identity. And I'm just passionate about that, because... And I'm just going to be gut level honest with you. The reason that I'm passionate about that is not because I've arrived, because it's an area that I've personally struggled in dealing with my identity, not understanding who I am as Todd Schumacher, but recognizing that there is oftentimes a chasm between me understanding what God says about me and who I am and walking it out in truth. Anybody here too hard on themselves, like you have identity issues? It's not about knowing who you are. It's knowing what God says about you and walking that out, because you're pretty hard on yourself. Anybody else like that? Come on. A lot of people are, and I get it. I totally get it. Man, I want you to get your identity and know who you are. Man, it can open up the doors to so much that God has for you. Y'all mind if I tell you a Boudreaux joke? Because it's kind of about opening doors. Is that all right? Good. Okay. It's a Boudreaux joke, but it doesn't start with him. It starts with Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein dies. He dies, and he goes to heaven. He's right outside the pearly gates, and he's there, and St. Peter is there, and St. Peter's down writing in his book, and he looks up, and he sees Einstein, and Einstein says, hey, I'm Albert Einstein. Can I go into heaven? St. Peter looks at him, and he says, I mean, you'd be surprised how many people try and sneak into heaven. You're going to have to prove that you're really Albert Einstein. So Einstein ponders for just a moment. He says, can I have a blackboard and some chalk? And St. Peter says, sure. And snaps his finger, boom, blackboard and chalk appears. And Einstein picks up the chalk. He goes over there and he begins to do math problems. And he starts solving the theory of relativity. He writes it all out and he proves it. And he's like, see, look there. And St. Peter says, well, I'll be. You actually are Einstein. Go ahead and come on into heaven. And St. Peter goes back to writing in his book, and then he looks up and he sees another person. This person says, I am Pablo Picasso. Please let me into heaven. St. Peter looks at him and says, I think you're going to have to prove you're actually Picasso. So Picasso looks over. What does he see? He sees a blackboard and he sees some chalk. He says, can I use that? And he says, certainly. Picasso flips the blackboard over, begins to sketch out this amazing masterpiece. And St. Peter goes, wow, that's unbelievable. That's amazing. You really are Picasso. Go ahead and enter into heaven. And Picasso goes in. St. Peter goes back to writing in his book. There stands Boudreaux. St. Peter looks up, and he sees Boudreaux standing there. And he says, okay, you say you're Boudreaux. Well, Einstein and Picasso had to prove who they were, so go ahead and prove who you are. And Boudreaux looks at him and goes, who Einstein and Picasso? says, come on in, Boudreaux. Wouldn't it be neat if our identity was simply wrapped up in what we do? Wouldn't it? Because then we could say, well, I'm a teacher, or I'm an operator, or I'm a salesman. But if we relegate our identity to what we do, we'll always fall short because we'll fall into the trap of comparison. And we'll compare ourselves against other people who we think are better in the identity that we hold, or worse. And you'll end up at the extremes. You'll end up one moment, you'll be like, yeah, I'm doing pretty good because look at this person over here. They're really pathetic. Or we'll end up at the place of like, I'm terrible and I'm the pathetic one because look how good they are. But when our identity is founded in who God says that we are, there's a surety, there's a peace. And let me just say, you'll never fulfill your purpose outside of understanding who you are in Christ because he's the creator. And if we don't know who we are in him, we'll just wander around trying to figure out what we're called to be and who we are. My prayer is that you get it, that it's more, and let me just say this, that it is more than just a conversion experience. Like that is the beginning of an identity change. So many times Christians just feel like, well, I've been forgiven. I remember this moment where I had this revelation. I saw my need for Jesus. I realized my shortcomings and my sin. I saw them and I surrendered in that moment, said, God, forgive me. I felt this tugging on my heart and this revelation of who God was. And I said, God, forgive me. I'm yours and I choose you. And you meant it with every ounce of your being. And yet for some reason, so many times people, after they have that new birth, that experience, it's a conversion, it's a salvation moment, that they continue, though, in walking around through life, even though they've been forgiven. Even though they've been given a new identity, they don't walk in it because they're so tied up to their old one, and they walk around like this. Oh, thank goodness I'm given. Y'all forgiven. Y'all remember the old bumper sticker that said, I'm not perfect, just forgiven? Anybody ever seen that? No, listen, let me just say that I'm not perfect and I am forgiven, but I know the perfect one and he can line out the path that I have. So my purpose, while I may not be perfect, the purpose for which he created me is, and there is some peace and joy and life when we walk that out knowing who we were created to be. Man, the Christian walk is so much more than just about forgiveness. It's also about spiritual inheritance and knowing that the goodness of God will flood over me and wash me clean, and I can know that good things are to come. Let me just say, that doesn't mean that difficult days will never happen. It doesn't mean that difficult seasons will never happen. Far from it, because difficulty is rampant in a broken world, isn't it? I mean, as I'm standing up here preaching, I've been thinking and praying for a good friend of mine. His wife's in the hospital in a very serious situation. We're praying for her. Well, how can you say if I've been forgiven and there's a spiritual inheritance and good things are to come, how do you explain? And then we can start listing off all of the horrible things that we've walked through, all of the things that we know we'll probably experience in the future, right? Because when we surrender to the purpose and plan of God, we can know that good things do come. My life verse, I have a bunch of them. This is probably my number two life verse. My first one's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. My second one is Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. I have another life verse that I love. It's John 10, 10. It says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. In your notes, it's in the New King James translation, but I memorize it in ASB, so y'all just have to forgive me. And it says that you'll have life, is it up there? More abundantly. Everybody here wants a full life, right? Well, guess what? You'll never have it until you recognize who you were created to be and the journey that God has for you. It reminds me of a story of a man at the turn of the century who was in Europe, and he scrimped and he saved. Even though he had just meager earnings and a small job in a very small town in Eastern Europe, he scrimped and he saved because he heard about this dream called America. And to him, it was a land with a shining light, a beacon of hope. He scrimped, he saved, and he was able to finally afford third-class passage on a ship bound for New York City. He didn't just save money, though. He got the ticket, and he began to save food because he wanted to be able to eat along the journey. So he goes on board the first day of the voyage, and he goes to his berth and at the bottom of the ship in third class passage, and he sees everybody begin to go up and go to the dining hall when it's time to eat. And he goes up knowing, at least saying to himself, man, it must be nice. And he looked in and he saw the fine china and he saw them eating and drinking and having a good time. And he went back down to his bunk and he ate his cheese and his crackers that he had packed for the two-week journey. It took 2 weeks at that time. And every day was the same ritual. Everybody would go up to eat and he'd just go watch for a moment and go back down and eat his cheese and his crackers. And on the last day of the voyage, he lingered a little longer. And the captain, who would always make rounds at every one of the tables and tell everyone hello, he saw him peeking in, and he quickly went out and said, "Sir, I've not seen you at any of the tables. Have you been dining with us?" And he kind of hung his head, and he said, "No, sir." He said, "I haven't. All I have," and he pulled out his ticket, "all I have is my third-class passage, and I just had to save enough to be able just to eat my cheese and crackers." And the captain said, "Sir, give me your ticket." And he hands him the ticket. And he flips it over. He said, "Sir, I don't know if you saw this fine print here, but it says that on this journey, all meals are included. You could have been eating with us the entire time." That so aptly describes so many Christians who walk around like, because they don't know who they are in Christ. And man, I'm passionate to see you know that. So let's get into it. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this: "If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." A new life has begun. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to start putting the stuff up there from NASB. Nobody else has that problem? You memorize scriptures from a different version that you preach from? Probably not. Okay. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. We have to recognize when we give our life to Christ, it's more than forgiveness. There's a new life that has begun, and there's a new identity that we can embrace. The problem is that we may say, "Yeah, I get it, we understand it, but we have problems walking it out." Has anybody ever been at that place? "I get it, I understand, I can regurgitate, I can quote the scripture. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." You go, "Yeah, I'm supposed to have a new life. Like, I get it here in my head, but like something's not translating over here," and you struggle to walk out the truth of your new life and new identity. Has anybody ever struggled in their walk with God? Every hand will go up. Why is that? I really believe because the struggle is threefold, because we are threefold. Just as God is a triune God, we are triune beings. And here we are in three parts. Let's look at the first part. It's our body. Our body. That's our taste, what it should be up there, what we see, what we hear, what we taste, what we smell, what we touch. This is the world of the physical. It is our body. Has anybody here ever struggled in any of these areas? What you watch, what you listen to, what you eat, what you smell. I hope that's not a problem for you. What you touch, I struggle in what I smell. All righty, I don't know that I can actually help you, but let's just be honest. Have we struggled in the physical realm? So we just got off of 21 days of prayer and fasting. I didn't do any carbs, but I wanted to. Bad. Really bad. Like, I wanted to eat pizza. You know what I wanted to eat? I know it sounds silly. I really wanted Fruit Loops, because my kids have been eating Fruit Loops, and they love Fruit Loops, and it just turns out that I love Fruit Loops, too. That is like a divine crunchiness. I just love it. But guess what's full of what's in Fruit Loops? It's full of what? Delicious, wonderful, tasty sugar and carbs. It's basically pure carbs with sugar loaded on top of those carbs. It's terrible for you. But man, I wanted that. Has anybody here ever struggled with the cravings of this flesh? And lots of people have. Lots of people have. I mean, we all have physical cravings, don't we? There's a struggle there. We want to walk in the identity of the creation that God's made us, and we've come to Christ, but we know it over here, but walking it out can be a different thing. That's why so many Christians still battle addiction. And let me just say, you know, whether it's a craving for chocolate or it's a craving for crack, there's still a craving that we will struggle with. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, some of y'all are on the gateway drug of chocolate, aren't you? You're addicted. Don't lie. We struggle in our body, and that I know what God has said about what he's called me to be, but I have trouble walking it out. There's a physical struggle. The second aspect of who we are, we're body. The second aspect that we are is soul. We have a body. We have a soul. Soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And I would say that there is oftentimes a tremendous struggle in our mind. Anybody here analytical and you think things through and you're trying to work out every scenario of everything in your life, every variable with contingency plans for all of it? That would drive you insane. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You struggle in your mind. You struggle with your will in one of two ways, typically. The one way is like, it's my way or the highway. You don't know what you're talking about, but I do. So why don't you shut up and let me do what I know I can do, because you are totally going to mess it up because I know how to get this thing done. Like, you have a strong will. Not that I know what that's like. I'm just saying people will say that sometimes. Or people struggle with their will of like, oh, man, maybe I should have stood up for myself then. Has anybody here ever struggled with your will? You want to do what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it. Everybody else, shut up. Y'all don't know what you're talking about. Or you're so down on yourself that you feel like a failure and you're like, I just can't get them. You struggle in your will, your mind, your will, your emotions. And let me just say, the typical South Louisiana male will say, that's right, Pastor, you preach that about them emotions, them crying women, getting all worked up about everything. I just want to remind you that anger is emotion as well. Y'all know some people that struggle with anger? Very quiet among all the men that look like they're from South Louisiana. We struggle in our body, in our soul. Remember, we live in a body, we have a soul, but in the essence, it's the third part of who we are. It's spirit. We are spirit. And let me just say that there is a war. There is a spiritual war. The Bible is full of references to spiritual war from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We see angels and demons fighting. We see epic battles. But let me tell you what it's centered around. It is centered around God's will for you. And there's a battle that rages to keep you from walking by the Spirit of God. That's where the war rages, because you will be led by something. We've probably all been at the place we've been led by our body, and we give into the cravings. And it feels good in the moment, but afterwards we feel terrible. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There have been many times where we've been led by our mind, our will, our emotions. And let me just say, that can be great data, but it should not be the thing that we allow to lead us in every moment of our life. God's given us a mind. Like, we have free will. We have emotions. Those are all good things. But if we continually allow those to be the leader in our life, we will always fall short of our purpose and will always lack fulfillment. But if we recognize that the war is all about the spirit, the essence of you, the essence of me, the spiritual wars rage all around humanity because there is a great destiny and call on each of us. Win the spiritual war. How do you do that? You align yourself with God, who is spirit, who knows you, who loves you, who has a purpose and a plan for you. You have to know what he says. So what does God say about us? Here we go. We're going to go through these quickly. Whew. We know we're three parts: body, soul, spirit. In our spirit, not just our mind, not our body, not in the physical, not in the mental, and the spiritual, we have to know. Let me say this again because it's so profound. You have to know. It's more than knowledge. It's understanding. It's revelation. I believe all of this more than a head knowledge. It is sunk down inside of me because I recognize it as truth and I walk it out. How does God see us in Christ? Here we go. You ready? I'm going to pull it right from my notes, from the notes that you guys have as well. You're born again. That means God's given you a new life. You share God's divine nature. In other words, you don't have to live by the brokenness of the world around you and your broken sin nature. You can choose to live by God's divine nature because you share in it. Christ lives in you. I want you to think about that. Christ lives in me. Am I allowing him to live, or am I suffocating him out? Number four, God's love is in your hearts. Even in the moments when you are at your worst, and it may just be a tiny little speck of a seed in your heart, but God's love is in your heart. And when you focus on that and you water it, God's love will grow in you. You're an overcomer in life. You don't have to live defeated. You don't have to live like you're a failure. God is you're an overcomer in life. That's what he speaks about you. I encourage you, by the way, to look up all of these verses. God's life and power is in you. How cool is that? God's life and his power, the power that spoke in the universe, it was created. It's in you as well. Number 7, you have the ability to reign in life. You don't have to live defeated. You don't have to live like you're a loser. You can know that you are going to reign in this life. And it may be raining cats and dogs around you, and it may be miserable and hard right now, but you know that God is with you, and that in the end, you'll reign. And Romans 8:28 is true. Number 8, you're made righteous by God. If you've ever been at the place where you feel like you're just disgusting, and you're reminded of all the junk that was 50 years ago, 5 years ago, 5 weeks ago, 5 minutes ago, you can know that when you surrender all to Christ in that moment, that you're righteous in him. Number 9, God's Holy Spirit lives in you. So allow his Spirit to lead you. Number 10, you're redeemed from every curse. Do you know you're redeemed from every curse? I don't have to live with the curses that have been spoken over me and to me. I don't have to live with the curses that I can look back generationally and see. We're freed from that junk. Isn't that a good thing? Amen. That's how God sees us in Christ. So don't listen to the lies. Anybody here listen to the lies? You hear lies in your head? Am I the only one? You hear the lies? What do the lies say? I just wrote down a bunch of them. You're not good enough. You're second rate. You'll never measure up. You're not smart enough. You're not good looking enough. You're not thin enough. You're not in shape enough. You're not worthy of love. You're going to fail. You're going to end up fill in the blank. You'll never be free. You'll never change. You're a loser. You're pathetic. You'll never do anything right. Why are you so stupid? You're a moron. How could you say that? How could you think that? How could you do that? Does anybody hear those lies? Man, let's reject them, realize what they are. And it's the same thing. And here it is. We understand. God thinks good things about me. I hope you understand that. But we have trouble walking it out. Why is it that we understand that those are lies, but we have no trouble walking them out? Listening to them, embracing them, man, we got to reject it. We got to stop that. How to walk in your new identity. I've got 3 things. Number 1, see yourself, think about yourself, and talk about yourself the way God does. See yourself, think about yourself, and talk about yourself the way that God does. That's profound. Do I do this? Do I see myself as God sees me? Do I think about myself that same way? Do I talk about myself the way that God speaks about me? It's huge, huge. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." You are God's masterpiece. I'm going to say it again because it's that important. You are God's masterpiece. God is a master creator. Last night, my whole family plus my parents were out on our front porch, and we finally moved out into the country, which is really nice, and it's in the middle of the woods. It's very isolated, which I like the woods. And we turned off all the lights, and we sat out on the front porch, and we watched thousands of lightning bugs. I was like, wow, it's January, it's that hot. Lightning bugs. It was beautiful. It was really neat. And the master creator who created all of that, as we were listening to the crickets and the frogs and watching the lightning bugs, and it was just really peaceful and beautiful. The God who painted that scene looks at you and says, "You're my masterpiece, though. Yeah, that's pretty, but you're my masterpiece." Do you believe that? Do you believe it? Do you see that you're his masterpiece? Do you think that about yourself? Do you say that about yourself? Or do you say things like, "You're an idiot," and then you use some more colorful language thrown in just for effect? Lots of people do. Do you say, "I can't believe I'm such a moron. What does your self-talk like? Because if you're saying those things, you are saying to God, "You're wrong. You're wrong." And let me just say, that's convicting. I want you to see the truth, but to have a revelation about it, that you are God's masterpiece, that you are his masterpiece. He created you anew. That means that the old has passed away. This is what we have to get. That's who we really are, God's masterpiece, that he's created us for good things, not bad things. And he planned them a long time ago. There's a plan he has for you. It begins right now. You're not going to miss it. You can never miss God's plan because it's always in the present. It's so true. Like, you got to get it. You'll never miss God's plan because God's plan is always in the present, not the past, not even the future. He knows the future, but his plan for you is right now. Believe you are his masterpiece. That's who we really are. The second thing, in the second verse, it talks about how we get to the place where we truly believe this stuff because it's real. It's for true. That's really Cajun, isn't it? For true. Man, I haven't heard that in forever. Y'all remember, y'all grew up, if you grew up in Cajun land, I grew up more Cajun land than Lake Charles. I love Lake Charles. Not as Cajun as, I don't know, Jennings Hathaway area back in the 80s. And they'd say, for true? Is that for true? Yeah, this stuff is for true. Joshua 1:8, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. How can you believe what God says about you if you don't know what he's already spoken? That's why we're doing these devotionals. That's why we're saying get into a group. Why? Because we want you to know the truth. I want you to know the truth of how God created you. You're his masterpiece. He loves you. I want you to know it and have more than just some hearsay, but you heard actually God say firsthand about who you are. Philippians 3:13, I love this verse because it just tells me we are all in process. It says, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. Now, this is the Apostle Paul, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it. Achieved what? Achieved perfection. Achieved the purpose for which God ultimately created him. And I'm like, that brings freedom to me because I'm not perfect either. I've not arrived yet either. And here's the thing. None of us ever will until we get to heaven. But we are in process. He says, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. This is how we work the process. We go, you know what? I'm not perfect, but I'm in process. And so here's what I do. This is what Paul says. This one thing, I forget the past, and I look forward to what lies ahead. How do we walk in our new identity? Very simply. See yourself, think about yourself, talk about yourself the way God does. Here's the second thing. Release memories of your past failures, mistakes, and sins. Let them go. Don't hold yourself to those things in the past that you know were stupid. Have you ever met anyone that instantly, as soon as you meet them, you realize they're living in a past decade? Have you ever met somebody, you look at them and you go like, that's 1987. No doubt about it. You look at someone and go, that is very much 1997. Got it. Some of y'all still wear JNCO jeans. Y'all know what I'm talking about. If y'all ever met anybody that... it's pretty obvious they live in a past decade. How can you tell they're living in a past decade? How do you know? Come on, y'all talk. How do you know somebody's stuck in a previous decade? By what they, somebody yelled it out, thank you, by what they wear. Because you can tell. Man, I remember growing up, my daddy had a collection of 70s clothes, and he wore them. Like, Dad, it's the 80s and the 90s now. Like, back off the polyester. He's stuck in this. Y'all met people that it's what they wear. Let me ask you this. Are you wearing the hurts, the pains, the wounds that happened a long time ago? You need to let go of that stuff. You need to receive God's forgiveness for yourself. And you need to release yourself and go, I am a new creation. I'll be honest, I find it easier to forgive other people for the things that they've done to me than it is to forgive myself for the stupid stuff that I've done. Anybody? You can relate? You've got to release those memories, those mistakes, those past sins, let them go. Let them go. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We need to walk in the newness right now. I want you to know what God speaks about you over here. I understand what you say, but you walk it out because you realize you're God's masterpiece. You recognize that you're in process, that you're studying God's word so that you hear what he speaks about you. That's day 5 of the devotional that says that he hears us. My goodness. The final thing as we wrap up. Here it is. Choose your friends wisely. Choose your friends wisely. Seems like an odd ending, doesn't it? Choose your friends wisely. Well, how is that going to help me walk in the identity that God's called me to? Here's how. Because you will become like the people that you hang out with. In fact, Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. You will become like the people that you hang out with. I just want you to know that because it's so fundamentally true. I remember growing up over and over, my dad would say, birds of a feather. And he would say, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. There is something powerful that happens when you surround yourself with godly people. That's why we push groups. It's not because groups solve all sorts of ills in your life. It's just when you get around somebody who can encourage you, somebody who's on the same path with you, in the same heart with you, man, there's some transformation that takes place. Has anybody here ever been impacted by a mentor or a coach? Raise your hand, please. That is the power of one person that sees potential in you. And they recognize that there's something inside of you that needs to come out. And so they speak to you and they call it out. You need that in your life on both ends. You need to be around some people who can encourage you in your walk with God, that can call you to greatness. And you need to be able to be in a group of people that you can do the same to those in that group as well. It's twofold. Choose your friends wisely. Choose them wisely. You will be like who you hang out with. Man, I want us to walk in that identity and to know who we are because God said so. And we see ourselves correctly, we think about ourselves correctly, we speak about ourselves correctly, and it's in line with the truth of how God sees us, thinks about us, and speaks about us. We let go of the pain of the past and we surround ourselves with people who can be life to us. Let's bow our heads. If you're here and you say, Pastor, this message, it's for me. I know it. I've been beating myself up. I've been down on myself. I've been seeing myself wrongly. I realize it and I want to change it. And I know today that it is God who's speaking to me. He's the one who's saying, you're my masterpiece, and it convicts me because I feel like I'm dime store junk, resale item that you find at Goodwill on the back on sale. That's how I feel. That's a lie. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God created you in his image. He calls you his masterpiece and he loves you. And today, if you're here and this message is for you and that you know that you obviously need a restart in your identity, I want to pray for you right where you are. I won't embarrass you, but I just want to stand with you as we pray together, all of us. So if that's you and you say, Pastor, that's me, just raise your hand right now. Say, Pastor, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Hands all over. Let's pray and let's pray together. You guys can just repeat after me. Say, dear God, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you know me. And you still call me your masterpiece. Help me to see your hand. I want to see you draw my life. I want to see you paint a beautiful picture. I believe you when you say you have. And today, I believe you. I surrender to you. I receive your forgiveness. I'm yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. May we restart this year in our walk with God and in our identity. And may you know who you are. And you're not a failure. You're a success, not because of you, but because of God and what he's put inside of you, because you're his masterpiece. And let me say, if you prayed that prayer and for the first time you had a revelation of who God is, take that connection card out and fill it off. I've committed my life to Christ. If you made a recommitment, check that off. If you know that there's a picture that needs to be seen of your life being made new, check off baptism. And know that we're praying over every one of our cards, and we're grateful for that you guys are here. In just a moment, Pastor Tom is going to come up. We'll receive offering. You can go ahead and get that out and get ready, and he'll dismiss. We'll be dismissed in a moment. I want to pray for you. Father, I just pray a blessing over everyone here. May we know your voice. May we believe your voice. And may we walk out the truth that you speak to us. Bless everyone here. In Jesus' name.